Events like Monday's bombings in Boston leave many people feeling uneasy, and even those who weren't directly affected by it can feel anxiety and fear as a result. Here in New York and in other cities around the country, more police have been assigned to the subways and train stations, and people are tense about safety and are saddened and worried about an attack similar to the one in Boston. Here to help us understand how to deal with the feelings of anxiety and fear that many of us are experiencing this week is Dr. Drew Ramsey, Assistant Clinical Professor of Psychiatry at Columbia University Medical Center. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you so much, Leonard. It's good to be with you.
And you were here when we did a Please Explain segment on stress in December. Is the stress many people are feeling now in Boston and elsewhere similar or different from other everyday kinds of stress?
This is a different type of stress, for sure. We were talking about chronic stress then, and now we're talking about acute stress. The difference, I think, being, you know, one is about the daily grind, and the second, what we're experiencing now, is about both the tragedy and something that the brain really has a hard time making sense of.
When I traveled around the country after 9/11, I discovered some people had been deeply affected by it. Others had little emotional response, although they were unhappy about what had happened. Why do you think different people respond differently to something like this? In Boston and outside of Boston?
It's a great question. I'm not sure I have a perfect answer other than that we are all psychologically and neurologically a little different. And so there are people who are going to watch the events in Boston on TV and are going to develop trauma. And there are people who were standing very close to the explosions who may be rattled for a few days, but then will recover. There are going to be a lot of people, of course, who are, you know, between those two those ends of the spectrum, and are going to have a fair number of symptoms.
And for many people in the city, it brings back memories and feelings about 9/11. Would that be a normal reaction?
That's normal. I've been hearing a lot about that on my couch this week. A lot of patients who I treat who experienced 9/11 and were in New York find themselves associating to that, remembering their experience. I've heard a lot about re-traumatization in some ways. And that's how we think about it, that as people recover from trauma, one of the things that almost always makes trauma worse is another traumatization. That's one of the issues that we're having with multiple deployments in our soldiers, that you can go and experience something horrible once or twice, but if you keep experiencing it, it makes it much harder to recover.
So if someone is feeling overly nervous about riding the subway or being in a crowded place, in New York especially, it's hard to avoid those things. What advice can you give them as to how to cope?
Yeah, the number one piece of advice is to talk about those feelings with someone. And initially, it does not have to be a mental health professional, because everyone's experiencing it, and there's a group effect. If we talk about the fears that we have collectively, it helps us cope with them. So that's the most important step. I think another important piece to pay attention to is avoidance, that when people really begin to feel frightened of their symptoms is when they start to avoid those everyday normal activities. The odds are very much against there being another event like that, and even if there is in somewhere like the subway, the odds of you as an individual being harmed by it are minuscule. So we ask people to employ that kind of cognitive, that thinking ability. That's the basis of cognitive behavioral therapy that's often used in trauma, is you use that thinking ability to kind of analyze and deconstruct those emotions you're having.
What are the symptoms of an acute stress response?
Well, the ones that we have some signal indicate you could go on to develop a longer-term disorder. So all listeners know, acute stress response is a month, and it's a description. It's a diagnosis, but it's really just a description of the psychological feelings that people have in the first few weeks to a month after a trauma. And the ones that people experience certainly often are what's called dissociation or derealization, you know, feeling numb and that things aren't really real. Which makes some sense, right? Something that is completely outside of the ordinary has happened to you. The symptoms that tend to bother people the most are hyperarousal, that your heartbeat is up for quite a while often, and that racing heart, you know, is an uncomfortable feeling. People have a what we call a hypervigilance or hyperarousal, that they, a car door slams and you're going to really, really jump and have an increased startle response. And then there's also a very troubling symptom where people kind of replay this in their mind over and over again, and they don't want to, but they keep kind of re-experiencing and visualizing the event.
It could be difficult to know what to say to someone who's suffering or recovering from a traumatic event. Can you give us some advice on what we should say or could say and what we should not say?
Yeah, I think that people are generally helped by open-ended questions and expressions of concern, and people usually aren't helped by somewhat panacea answers. You know, it's all going to be okay and you're going to be fine. I think it's more helpful to ask people how they're doing, what they're experiencing, and how you can be of help. And then to be consistent, because a lot of times, especially people who have really been traumatized by this event, they might not have an answer to that right now, but they might in a week. And so it's really important, I think, if you know people who have been significantly traumatized, to be gentle and be consistent.
I heard in a report yesterday that in addition to receiving care from trauma surgeons, emergency doctors, and nurses, the people injured in the blast in Boston are being offered psychiatrists and chaplains. I'm assuming that that should be part of the treatment, immediate treatment. But what about first responders? Should they also be given some access to psychological care?
For sure. Anybody involved in these events and has seen gruesome and horrible things certainly should be offered care. And most first responders, most organizations do that. I mean, we know that people who are, right there in the fight get significantly traumatized. And so almost all of these organizations have partnerships that reach out. I know NYPD and Columbia Psychiatry, for example, work together quite a bit around the trauma after 9/11. A lot of times people say, what is happening? Why do people need psychological care? Well, one is, I think, to know that there are resources available. And the other is we do have some kind of basics of psychological first aid and psychiatric first aid to make sure that people are sleeping, to remind people to care for themselves, and I think to help orient people to talk about what the symptoms are that they're experiencing and to help normalize some of that.
Well, how do people even find those resources? Most people don't regularly see a psychiatrist or a therapist. How can they go about finding a professional to talk to when they need something, when they need to talk about something like this?
It's a great question. On the emergency side, there are national 800 numbers. 1-800-LIFENET is a great resource. You can certainly reach out to any medical center has a good psychiatry department in America and a good psychology department. Most universities, you can certainly reach out there. Online, you can find great resources at the American Red Cross and Columbia Psychiatry at columbiapsychiatry.org has great resources for trauma patients. So there's a lot out there for sure if you've been affected and need to talk. And another good resource for people is getting in touch with your primary care doctor.
Dr. Drew Ramsey is Assistant Clinical Professor of Psychiatry at Columbia University Medical Center. Thank you so much for being with us again.
It's a pleasure to speak with you, Leonard. Thank you.